on a Monday, the Louie Belina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. We're going to listen in A&M baseball head coach Jim Schlossnagle after the loss last night. After Alabama wins the series, Alabama just dominates the Aggie baseball team again. We'll hear what Coach Schloss had to say after the loss last night. 12 o'clock first pitch game that first pitched at 7 due to weather and nuts day. I was coordinating the back end here with the board ops, and a lot of thanks to a lot of people that helped me through that, and board ops here doing an outstanding job. So thank you very much. Taking your text messages, and it's about anything. We do have a question. We have a key to, and it's a key to Aggie athletics, getting the respect they deserve, just getting respect. All not being treated differently or always being given the worst case scenario. Because I just saw so much of it this weekend. And I would argue that 10 years ago, I wouldn't have agreed with that statement. People always talk about how the Dallas Morning News hates us. And I thought Aggies were looking for shadows and corners a lot. But ever since A&M joined the SEC, where it just means more and the spotlight's brighter, it's become true. Because again, 10 years ago, I don't know if I'd agree with you. 15, I know I wouldn't have at all. Like, but it is now a truth, at least in my universe, that A&M gets less respect than it's earned. See, I'm not going to use the word deserve. Deserve is something you earn, right? There's no such thing as deserve. You get what you earn. But A&M doesn't even get the respect they earn. And it's just odd how at every turn A&M seems doubted. For years, I know there's a chunk of it, and 30% is just the media knows if they pick on A&M, they benefit from it. They get clicks and views and website hits, and editors get happy. So a third of what media does anti-A&M, they don't even believe it. So that's something you just got to remember. Some more text messages. Ken says, I believe the key is to consistently exceed expectations. What I mean is if A&M is expected to finish third in the SEC West, they finish second or first. Doesn't matter what the sport is. I mean, there's no doubt that will have a long-term impact, change perception, but none of it matters until rings. And revenue sports. Because right now, A&M is winning national championships or playing for national championships in a lot of the Olympic sports, track and field, golf, tennis. I mean, they're crushing it. They're doing amazing. The level those programs are at. But it's not enough. And part of it, it just doesn't have the media and the TV appeal of a football, basketball, baseball. So consistently exceeding expectation, you got to win it all. And I don't know about national title, but heck, even regular season title. Some, you know, if you put it together, trophy cases, how many trophies would actually be in that from football, basketball, baseball? I mean, you know, the great basketball run, 15 conference wins, NCAA tournament, there's no trophies. The year before, the NIT runner-up all the way to New York, no trophies, despite the success that was built into each season. A couple of more. Alex from College Station. In your opinion, what would be the perception of Texas A&M if we weren't so big on traditions? Considering the fact that we don't consistently win championships in the big revenue sports, I don't think there would be much of a reason to disrespect A&M. Maybe it's our traditions and absence of winning programs that make it easy to disrespect us. I don't. No. I believe that A&M's disrespect has 0.00 to do with traditions. I will tell you that college sports and college universities and things that make it college are celebrated. Each university's uniqueness is celebrated. I don't think people say, ha, they have traditions. We're going to screw them at every turn. If they did not have traditions, we would embrace them to our bosoms and hold them as the greatest university ever. No, no, I don't think traditions are anywhere in the top 150 reasons of why A&M is disrespected, regional, national level. College, universities, towns, athletics are celebrated for their collegeness. Very rarely are they scorned and disrespected and shamed. I just got to disagree with that thing completely. I don't think A&M's traditions are in the top 2008 reasons of why. Pat texted from SoCo. Huh? Southern County? Southern County? Aggs have no excuses not to be great in those major sports. I prefer revenue sports. When you say major sports, because you talk to players in other sports, it's pretty major. I've been friends with, covered, called games for some of the non-revenue, and you know, it's pretty major when an athlete devotes their whole life to it and a coach does too. I mean, there's revenue and non-revenue. I like winter sports or Olympic sports especially. That's an honorable title. But to say major and not major is, I always felt a little disrespectful. Text message goes on to say, we pour a lot of resources that most universities do not, and yet we can't deliver a conference title, forget a national title. Boss came from somewhere. We just deal with it and hope for a better next year. The national media doesn't have to. They form an opinion. Most of the time, it's the Aggs are a bunch of hype and move on from them. If they moved on, it'd be okay. But for some reason, they stay on A&M and then bash A&M in the story. That's the weird part. Like, I can't quit you, A&M. I don't understand what's going on sometimes in that relationship with the media. 979-693-1150. 979-693-1150. Remember the media reaction to A&M hiring Jimbo? It wasn't enough shock, more of like, well, that's not right. How dare A&M hire a Jimbo? They don't deserve a Jimbo. That literally was the approach of some media. You're going to laugh at me. Last week, I was Googling something, and A&M joining the SEC ended up being like a subset of it. And I just started reading some of the old articles from SEC country on A&M joining the SEC. And it's kind of hysterical now. You know, A&M's not one of us, and we don't need A&M. Because the old guard in the SEC is the old guard. You know they're always going to say stuff like that. So it's not a big deal. I didn't even take it personal. I was just more like, you know, they're traditionalists in the SEC. They hated every school they've added ever. But yet every school they've added has been brilliant. Remember, A&M brought the entire state of Texas market. A&M is why ESPN built them the SEC network. A&M is why ESPN ABC, you know, bought the entire ESPN package. And if you think I'm getting carried away, I'm not. Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio, Austin markets. TV. We're talking about money here. Are worth more than like 10 out of the other 13 markets combined in the SEC. But the old guy, it was interesting reading. I hadn't really even at the time realize some of it was like, we don't need them. We're better than that and stuff like that. I do remember the very first SEC media days I ever went to. And it was very patronizing. Because everyone, whether it was the media there or all officials there, was treating A&M like a cow. They wanted to make sure it was well fed before the slaughter. They were all, "Aw, it's so good to have y'all. And it's precious you're in our league, and it's neat y'all are here." It was patronizing. I remember that attitude. they're literally like, y'all don't know what you're in for. This is going to be hell. And that was from the media. They all kept saying, you don't know what the SEC means till. And then Johnny goes, Johnny, and they hate you for it. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe A&M's early success when picked for failure, proving so many wrong. I know there's still media types who, when A&M was coming to the SEC, put their reputations at stake. Their bad sources told them that A&M would never, ever join the SEC, or their bad sources told them that the SEC would never take A&M. I'm not, again, look, I observe, I read, this is the stuff I follow. So there's, I mean, they didn't lose their reputation. Here today, blather some garbage tomorrow. So there are some media folks that suffered themselves because they refused to believe the tea leaves. There's one media type who said his sources said, and I'm 99% sure I know he had no sources. He just wanted to be that kind of bold about it. And then A&M joined and so many people look so bad. Maybe there's a backlash amongst media because A&M made most of the media look dumb at one time. They'd never move. They can't move without Texas. My sources tell me the SEC won't even take them. When it was the SEC chasing A&M all the way. And A&M had to overcome its almost fear of change to make it. Yeah, maybe that's a part of it. Maybe that's why the media is so quick and ready and willing and able. Let's take a timeout. We'll be back. This is the Louie Belina Show. Yes, it is. Monday edition. Ooh, live inside the Charles Schwab studio. Someday I'll be coming out of here. I know. The Louie Belina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. The Louie Belina Show, final hour on a Monday, coming up in about, I'm bad with math, but 14 to 17 minutes. A&M baseball head coach Jim Schlossnagel, listening. We heard what he had to say after the Sunday night loss to Alabama. We're going to stay on the diamond. Astros took 2 out of 3 from the White Sox. Glory, glory. In the Friday game, it was a 3-run first by the Stros. They end up winning 4-3 the final. Hunter Brown got the dub, 5 2/3, 3 earned. It is not, and I do mean not, a quality start. You got to go 6-3, but good enough. He's now 4-1 with an ERA of 3.49. I take that 6 weeks into the season. How about you? Ryan Pressly picks up the save. That'll be a 7th of the year. Yard work. Yonier Diaz hit his first of the season. You know, I was reading about Yonier Diaz, and this year is supposed to be his year. This year, they're supposed to be committing to him at catcher. And, oh, of course, he's not playing at catcher because, well, Dusty be Dusty. You know, he got that home run, right? He was DHing in the game. And as old as this team is and battered as they are, they have other uses for the DH spot. But, and don't look at what Diaz is hitting. It's supposed to be developmental. You know, he's supposed to be playing every day right now. But, Dusty be Dusty. Michael Brantley, Friday, Dusty Baker told the media, is shut down indefinitely. Remember a week ago today, he was supposed to be activated, allegedly going to be activated, could have been activated. But then he had soreness. Well, he's been shut down indefinitely. Brantley's talked about it each day since, and his frustration is palpable. There is no doubt he's frustrated with the situation. He's tired of rehabbing. He wants to play, but he is currently out indefinitely. They had to shut him down. Injury setback. Astros win Saturday. That's a lie. They lost 3-1 in one of the oddest games. The Astros had 1 run on 8 hits. You should have more than 1 run on 8 hits. That the top of the order all had a hit. And I'm talking about 1, 2, 3, 4. In the sixth hole, Pena goes 3 for 4. One run, 8 hits is really hard to do. Then, how did they hold the White Sox to 3 runs on 13 hits? I don't know if that's humanly possible. 13 hits, 1 walk, so 14 base runners equaled 3 runs only. That was some gorgeous strategical pitching. Brett Bielik got the start, went 5-1, no walks. Brilliant. Take it every day from him. Where the bullpen go boom, Montero inning, 2 runs, 3 hits. Just, you know, it wasn't a blown save. It was a tight game, but that's where it all... This game is 1-1, end of 7. 13 hits. How? Astros win Sunday, 5-1. Astros just kind of run here, like in the second. Actually, run in the fourth, run in the fifth, run in the ninth. Just consistent O. They got 5 runs on 8 hits on Sunday. 1 run on 8 hits on Saturday. That is how baseball go. Yordan Alvarez yard work hit his 9th homer of the year. This France kid, okay, he's only made 2 starts, but he's been fantastic. 6 2/3, 1 run. Yes, it was earned. Who cares? All day long. Impressive, impressive start for the kid. Mentioned Yordan went yard. Dubon went 2 for 4. I follow a theme, and I repeat the theme for you so that we can track along. Alex Bregman's batting 201. Jose Abreu's batting 218. This Astros team would be 10 wins better, 7 wins better if they both were hitting to their norms. Not their best seasons, not league leaders. If they were hitting to their average, what's average for them? They'd be 7 wins better minimum. But Bregman's hitting 201. And again, Jose Abreu is hitting 218. Brantley was supposed to be part of the don't worry. Reinforcements are coming. He's been shut down indefinitely. And Jose Altuve, again, till he's in the lineup, let us not just hope and pray. There's no reason to overguess it, overthink it. Yeah, I'll say all of the above. But the Astros took 2 out of 3 from the White Sox. Good weekend to wrap up a week and a half road trip where they were West Coast, then to the Chicago White Sox. We stick with the Chicago themes because the Astros host the Cubs. Astros Minute Maid host the Cubs. Interleague play. I remember when the Astros Cubs were just NL Central party time. Oh, and they played each other. Now it's interleague play. You'll hear the Astros and the Cubs tonight. I think it's 6:35, 6:40 pregame. Astros baseball in the zone. Select Astro games on Gospel 97.3 are all brought to you by Kelly Burt Dozer. Proud supporters, partners. They love them some Astros baseball, just like you love Astros baseball too. To the Rangers. They took 3 out of 4 from Oakland. They end up getting, on Friday was the only loss, 9-5. Only loss of the series. Saturday, 5-0. Jonathan Gray goes 8-0. 3 hits, 2 walks. 5 total base runners. Jonathan Gray, magnificent. He's now 3-1 with an ERA of 3.15. If I'm a Rangers fan, there's 2 things that give me pause. There's many things that make me excited. 2 things that give me pause. 1, you can't play Oakland every weekend. And 2, even though they've tried. 2, all projections, expectations are based on 162 games. There's no universe this starting pitching staff can continue down this pace. They would so go beyond their projection. Sure, you can beat the projection, but this would be shattering it. This would be, they're so much better than anybody could see and hope. And it's because they're healthy, Lou. But yeah, do they stay healthy the whole year? There's a reason why on all the different projections, expectations. But this Rangers team version, they're good. They're really good. Nick Lowe hit his fifth homer of the year. Sunday, 11-3, Party Time Central, Ranger Baseball. They end up, you know, they got two, they got one. It's 3-3 end of eight. 3-3 end of eight. A eight-run eighth kind of changes things. It flips the scoreboard. And that's what happened. It was 3-3, end of eight. Eight-run eighth for the Rangers, and 11-3 is the finale. Haney finally gave up a run. He extended his scoreless streak, I guess 29 and two-thirds, or maybe made 30, but because he threw up scoreless first, and he gave up his one run in the second. Ends up going 6-1, only four hits, two walks, struck out nine. He has been magnificent. Oh, he got roughed up a start or two, but this stretch, come on. You've heard me complain about the fishing scoring rules of baseball before, and yes, I still hate them with a passion, but the one rule, a pitcher in the game who was really bad got the win because he just happened to be, you know, on the mound at the right time. Hernandez got one inning, two runs, blown save, and the win. Even though Haney was genius and Rodriguez and Leclerc both threw scoreless innings. I hate the scoring system. CBS Sports, every Monday, updated MLB power rankings. The Rangers are now up to fourth. Up to fourth. The Astros, they're at seventh, and I'm fine with that. Anything in the top 10 still is pretty good. I'll take it. The Cubs, 21, and the three worst teams, in all of baseball. Royals, 28, the White Sox, who the Astros took two of three from, 29, and Oakland, who the Rangers took three out of four from, are number 30. That's your bottom three. Rangers 4, Astros 7 are your updated power rankings. When we return, up next, here on the Louis Belina Show, live inside the Charles Schwab studio, a listen-in, Coach Schlossnagel, the rest of the world of sports, sprint to the finish. Support comes from Mark Sim. He's our local Schwab dude. He's got a branch right here in College Station. Well, it's his Charles Schwab branch for Mark Sim. For me, that means no phone trees, no call centers halfway across the world. You deal with a local guy where you can walk into the office, shake the hand, look him in the eye. If you want more information about Mark Sim, Charles Schwab dude, go to schwab.com/College Station.
Nickels none, I'll throw myself into the Sunday sun. Summer Sunday made me insane. You said you're going, but I said I can't.
The Louis Belina Show. Hi. Hello, I'm Louis Belina. Presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Two remarkable businesses. One great family. That's B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Couple of quick text messages. Bob and Brian. A&M has a weak selection process for picking coaches like Jimbo and Schloss. Neither are worth half what they're making. Bob and Brian, I think you're trolling me, bro. I think you're trolling me. To say that Schloss is not worth half of what he's making is false. This year is a disappointment, even though it's not over. In year one, he went to Omaha and won two games. Actually made a little noise. So to say he's not worth half of what they are making is, it's just false. It's wrong. It's a bad narrative. You got kind of carried away with yourself. I think you're trolling. That's what I think. I've got a question. I've had three people at least ask me about what's going to happen to the Longhorn Network, you know, next year once the Longhorns join, because the Longhorns join next summer. Is that a Texags threat or something? It just seems so random to me. that today people want to know about the Longhorn Network? Because, like, in my mind, my first reaction is, why do you care? Like, whatever. When you text in, generally, I assume it's the foremost on your mind. Sometimes you're playing along because I say participation is rewarded. But, you know, an off-topic question, more than one is it a Texax thread from the weekend or this morning on the boards, you know, that people are now obsessed with the Longhorn Network and it should be lit in fire, doused in kerosene, and have its soul purged? Or am I missing something that so many people are wondering about the future of the Longhorn Network today out of nowhere? Just kind of wondering. The answer, to the best of my knowledge, is ESPN, from the start that it became official, the Longhorns were joining, has been trying to figure out, because having channels on the satellite up already, etc., kind of priceless. So they're not going to shutter the Longhorn Network, but there will be no Longhorn Network. You could see the Big 12 Network, because now ESPN, I think, owns all the Tier 3 rights. And remember, ESPN's already done an SEC network. They have an ACC network. And you might be like, Lou, no one will watch a Big 12 network with no Texas OU. Remember something. They're going to have to take a channel that kind of doesn't exist for most people and talk about a number, because the Longhorn Network was on it and nobody watched it. And for them, it's, what are they going to do with their Tier 3 rights? Are they going to put the entire Big 12 on Plus? What have they found out sales-wise from having an SEC network and an ACC network? They can now sell nationally across three conferences if they put up a Big 12 network, and some of it will be added value is what it's called. Like, buy the SEC network, get three on the Big 12 network free, added value. By the ACC network, get two on the Big 12 network free. So there's a lot of different ways the Tier 3 rights have value, but they do a Big 12 network with 14 teams they're going to be at, I think. So we don't know, but allegedly they were going to study and figure out, you know, what network it could be. And again, I'd say look at the contracts for what they're going to do. I know the simplest is they could probably just put all of Tier 3 rights on ESPN Plus and give them no over-the-air. And the Big 12 would have no choice but to go, oh, what a lovely idea. So that's what I think. But is that a Texags board thing? Because sometimes when that spills out over the rest of the world, I get these random text messages. And I could tell because it's basically all the same and even worded the same. And it's not the same number. Maybe they're all sitting together with their phones going, hey, text exactly what I did. 979-693-1150. Anybody can light up the Texas Mobile One Loop Express inbox. Time now. Listen in. A&M baseball head coach Jim Schlossnagel after the loss last night to Alabama. That's after the series loss to Alabama.
Hey, Coach. Crazy day. What can you walk me through a little bit? I mean, canceled, not canceled, and what was kind of the course of how everything went today in that regard?
Came to the ballpark, a lot of rain. We've had 4 inches of rain this week, 3 in the last 24 hours. Got with our administration, got with our field guy, talked to the meteorologist. All you can do is try and make the best decision that you can possibly make with the information that you have. We determined that the field was going to be unplayable and the forecast was for more rain. I personally, and then I called their coach and he said, I understand, no problem. Can we come over and hit in the batting cages in a little bit? I said, sure, no problem. And I personally try and take into account everybody else that's involved in this, including you guys, right? So people that work at the stadium, concessions, grounds crew, it's Mother's Day. I'm not trying to avoid a game. We needed to play, and we needed to win, and we didn't. So for 15 minutes, I met with the players. I sent them home. And then apparently, you know, I don't know what's going on over there in terms of interim coach and who's making decisions. The interim coach is a really nice guy, but I don't know who's making decisions. And apparently their athletic director got involved. The league put a stop hold on it. And then we, for a while, deemed the field unplayable. Then they wanted us to work on it for a while. Of course, then the sun came out. So, I mean, that's not why we lost the game, but I'm just answering your question.
Right. And, well, how hard is it? I mean, you send your players home. It's Mother's Day. How hard is it to get them back, get them ready?
Yeah, not as hard as the fact that Alabama had to check out of the hotel at 1 o'clock and had to sit over there till 7, you know, in the dugout or bus or visitor locker room, whatever they were doing. So, I mean, no, that's not – you got to Alabama out-toughed us today. I mean, McNary was unbelievable, like really good. So I don't even know if on any kind of day – I mean, on a day, you know, after what happened yesterday, you know, this conference is just not going to let you – they're not going to let you off the mat. Like, you have to get off the mat yourself. And this time last week, we were a swing away from sweeping Florida, who just swept Vanderbilt. Mississippi State's, you know, buried at the bottom. They're down 13-4 today. They come back and win. So, like, you know, like, who, what team has what identity? You know, who are we? I don't know. Do you? I don't know.
I thought I did, and then I didn't.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, all I know is this. The game still begins and ends with starting pitching. No one will ever convince me different of that. And if you're constantly playing from behind, it's really hard to do. And we have some pitchers that they need to check what's in their heart and see how competitive they're going to be. Or otherwise, we're, you know, we can write any story we want to write. And that's what I told the team. Like, this is within our control. And all I know is this, you know, and this is what I told the team. And I'm at TCU 2015. I thought A&M was far and away the best team on the field. And TCU won the Super Regional. In 16, I thought they were super talented. Like, that's a team with 23 straight SEC games. Boomer was a player of the year in the league. I thought our team was good. We outplayed them on that weekend. And then the next year, A&M doesn't have a great club or didn't have a great season. And they sneak into a regional as the last team, win a, you know, backdoor their way, which is to their credit, to win a regional, and then supposed to go to North Carolina and get to host Davidson at home. So, you know, you got a lot of older players in there, pretty hurt because they don't want that to be their last game at Olsen Field. And so, and that's just all I told them. If you want to play here again, then go play better, go do well in Starkville, and go win an SEC championship, and let's just see what can happen. But, you know, you got to play well to do it, and it starts on the mound. And we're not, you know, we scored one run in 18 innings, so it's not just the pitchers, but it starts on the mound. It starts on the mound. That's why they pay 40-year-old pitchers in the big leagues. They're still paying them hundreds of millions of dollars because it's so hard to find. And you just don't get better by, you know, by hoping that you're going to get better. You know, there needs to be a more sense of urgency and some toughness and some grit and some bounty hunter, and it's my job as a coach to try and get that out of them and challenge them and also go recruit more guys like that.
Is Hank okay? Was it Hank who got hit?
Yeah, I think he was okay. He wasn't available to play. No one said anything to me about anything other than he just got a knot on his head. I actually ended up with one too, but not his. You know, mine was a glancing blow. His was, you know, it was really scary for sure. So, but I think he's okay.
And then with the work that the field staff did.
Yeah, I mean, you can't credit those guys enough. They were here longer than us. They worked their rear ends off. They're digging holes and pumping water and putting it over the fence and you know, I was trying to keep them into the decision too. I mean, it's just. I mean, we played the game, and we should have played the game, and that's fine. But all you can do in those moments is try to make the best decision that you can. And I try to keep everybody involved. I mean, I try in my mind. I hate to make people sit around for 8, 9, 10 hours. I don't think that's right. But I don't make the decision. Obviously, it used to be that the homeschool made the decision, but that's apparently not the case.
That's good.
All right.
That was A&M baseball head coach Jim Schlossnagel. Again, after the loss last night, the big thing right there, wanted to walk you through, again, that day. He had already sent the players home. I told you I woke up and the game was already canceled. It was absolutely insane. And Alabama wanted to take BP before they left, and then the sun came out. I mean, that's one of the nuttiest days I've ever, you know, just ever been through. I don't even know how to put it. It was insane. But in the end, Alabama came out swinging, came out ready, and A&M did not. A&M did, and A&M, again, they did not. 979-693-1150. 979-693-1150. You can light up the Texas Mobile One Lube Express inbox. You know, we just got done with the listen-in with Coach Schlossnagel. We had 1135. We went out to the Smoothie King hotline, and we hung out with A&M recruiting coordinator, baseball assistant, baseball coach, Nolan Kane, and that was a fantastic visit. I really appreciated him taking time out to hang out with us. And he joined us on the Smoothie King hotline, kind of like Joe Sheehan does. And many guests of the Louie Belina Show hang out on the Smoothie King hotline. Do not forget about the Smoothie King brand new smoothie bowls. You can choose between a couple of different bases, but then they got toppings like fresh berries, ripe mangoes, crunchy granola, and a savory peanut butter or honey drizzle. Try build your own smoothie bowl at Smoothie King today or tomorrow. Got a suggestion, got a recommendation, got a tip for you. Stop by Griffin Locksmith. You know, every Monday we do Key 2, Friday Lock of. They are huge Aggie sports fans themselves. I mean, to me, that's enough reason to stop by. You say hi, find out for yourself. There are generations there of locksmith. I am a believer in experts and generations of locksmiths. And if we're talking about a lock, we're talking about a key, we're talking about a safe, experts. I don't like people that kind of know what they're doing and sort of do a good job. Those kind of words, kind of and sort of, just make me nervous. I want people that know and do. That's Griffin Locksmith. They're located. You can stop by. Yes, stop by. Full service locksmith company and a hardware store. They're located at 500 Sulphur Springs in Bryan. That's near the Villa Maria HEB, two blocks off of Texas Avenue. 500 Sulphur Springs Road in Bryan. And you can also find them at griffinlocksmith.com. Griffin Locksmith. .com. We're almost out of time. Down the stretch we come. Final thoughts. Go Stars. Go Astros. Game 7 at home. The Kraken. Stars are the betting favorites. Stars have lost 7 out of the last 10 game 7s. I have trouble breathing. Doyle Brunson passed away yesterday. Texas Dolly, godfather of poker. Member of the Poker Hall of Fame. He was 89. Doyle Brunson. Let's see. Where do I start? Well, he made more than $6 million just in live tournament win earnings. That's the tournament earnings. He played in only the top cash games kind of in the world, not just Vegas. He wrote a book called The Super System. And at the start of the poker world, it was referred to as the Bible of Poker. Doyle Brunson was also an ambassador for the sport. He was originally born in Longsworth, Texas. Standout basketball player at Hardin-Simmons University. knee injuries. Couldn't pursue the sport further than Hardin-Simmons University. And he became like poker legends, like underselling who he is. He won back-to-back World Series of Pokers in 76-77. He, 10 times, won a World Series of Poker bracelet. It wasn't all just the main event. If anyone ever sees you with a 10-2 and says you're playing the Doyle Brunson, or you won with, that was his starting hand when he won the World Series of Poker main event, with that hand, and he did it both years. Yes, both years. The 10-2. That's the Doyle Brunson. Passed away, age 89, yesterday. 10-time World Series of Poker winner, $6 million in live earnings. 10 WSOP bracelets to go at 26 WSOP final tables. Yep, a legend has passed away. Before we head out the door, we've had difficult conversations today. You know, our key to from Griffin Locksmith, where they offer 24-hour emergency service, was the key to Aggie Athletics. Aggie Athletics. Getting the respect that they deserve. No more, no less. Just deserve. Because many go out of their way to disrespect A&M. Many look for shadows in every corner. They just create garbage out of their mouth, their pens, their keyboards to disrespect A&M. My non-existent sources told me that was our key too. How would A&M Athletics go about doing it? And I've said, I think 33%, a third of all of it, is just media knowing they can get people to read their story if it's negative about A&M. They'll get their clicks and views. You know, I think that's 33%. One of the things I liked, exceed expectation. I mean, he seems obvious, but if you're picked fourth, just finish third. You can work your way up to titles, because in the end, you must have the revenue sports title. The revenue sports have to exceed expectation. A&M needs to be a 12 seed in the NCAA basketball tournament and make it to a regional final. Not be a 7 seed and get blown out by a 10 seed. A&M needs to quit being ranked 6th in any sport and finishing unranked. Any sport. It doesn't matter the sport, does it? No, it doesn't matter. Again, you could start the year ranked 6th and finish 11, 14, or 17 and go, man, it didn't happen. You don't have to start the year ranked 6th and finish with a losing record or 500 or just struggle to even make the postseason the next year. That makes people think that when you succeed, it's a fluke because you fall so far. I want to thank everyone that texted. Again, not easy, not comfortable, not necessarily fun, but just this weekend I saw so much of it, wanted to wander into it with you. The Texas Mobile One Lube Express inbox is quite busy today. I got to go. I'm done. I'm back tomorrow. Joe Sheehan, Olin Buchanan, Mascot of the Week.
Get connected and be in the know with the Zone. Follow us on Twitter at Zone1150. Like us on Facebook, Zone1150. Subscribe to our daily newsletter at thezone1150.com. This is KCNE College Station, Brian.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.